Hi Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks mate.
Still bunged up?
still bunged up.
That's incredible, wasn't it?
What a long cold.
It's been at least 2 minutes since the last one we did. But okay, we're looking now at abiding through fasting, which Ben preached on. And again, it'd be good to look at the preaching summary or the whole preach on this, because it was a great preach. We're looking at the small group notes, where we're looking at reflection first. So, just from a kind of personal point of view, what's your experience been of fasting? What are the benefits of fasting? And was there a time when you never did fasting and you found it difficult?
I mean, there have been huge chunks of my Christian life where I've never done fasting. So I did a little bit of it at university, because I was, you know, fairly new Christian. I became a Christian at 16. You know, went to university when I was 19, but it was quite a formative time, obviously. And it was when I joined the New Frontiers Church, and you know, so I was getting great teaching, great worship. So, you know, and in a great kind of student community where we're all stirring one another on. So we were constantly kind of thinking, you know, new ways that we could press in. And so did a bit of fasting. Was involved in a few kind of prayer and fasting weeks. And the longest fast I ever did actually was when I was at university, which was a 4-day fast.
Oh, right.
But I didn't really know what I was doing or why I was doing it. I think it was very much, you know, not wrongly, but like adopting the kind of notion that, you know, we fast because we want God to do something. You know, we fast because we want to see breakthrough. And so it's like this new level of kind of, you know, praying power. And I think there's probably something in that. You know, I wouldn't claim to be an expert, but obviously there's the incident with the, you know, the demon in one of the Gospels where the, you know, the disciples are trying to cast out and they can't, and they say, why can't we cast it out? And Jesus says, well, this type comes out through prayer and fasting, and I'm not quite sure what he means, you know, there's something in like a walking in a greater measure of power that maybe comes, you know, when we fast. But I suspect that is also about, rather than like a one-off activity, right, here's this person, you know, demonized, or here's this situation we need to break through, so we should pray and fast. But more than if you are praying and fasting regularly, then you are going to be in a position where you are more full of faith and more aware, aware of the power at your disposal in terms of the Holy Spirit living in you. So I think I went between then and there's probably been big gaps, like years gaps, when I haven't done any fasting, and then somebody is taught on it again, or I've been provoking, I should do that. But then not really made it a regular practice.
Yeah.
I would say until, you know, this past recent season, where now I try to fast once a week, generally on a Thursday. That's just the day that kind of works for me now. And I don't do a mega long fast. I fast just from Thursday morning until kind of Thursday evening, like as a family or eat a small group. Sometimes I will go over into the Friday and fast until Friday evening as well. So I've tried to make that a bit more of a kind of weekly practice, but the purpose being more about the, you know, just abiding, you know, and learning to walk closely with Jesus and learning to just put off the flesh, really. For me, that has now become the big kind of focus, you know, to fasting in terms of how do I learn to control my appetites? You know, and understand that my appetites can lead me away from God, or they can lead me towards God, depending on where they're directed. So that has become much more the focus of fasting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. How about you? What's the practice?
How into insignificant compared to that. Mine's very much the same, that it's just been an on-off kind of journey where I'm on... or into fasting, and actually and did it very much like you, that this is going to make me more powerful and more significant. And then I won't fast, and then there'll be a sermon on it, then I'll start fasting. Yeah. So, but I've yet to commit, because in terms of fasting regularly at the moment, that's still something I'm kind of thinking through. Because what I've tried to say to the small group, as I said before, is I've got one thing that I'm trying to focus on.
Yeah.
as opposed to thinking, oh, now I've got to do this, now I've got to do that. Yeah. I'm thinking, well, okay, the bit that I'm working on with, you know, the Holy Spirit is that whole slowing, slowing down. So I've got one thing that I'm trying to, you know, really make progress on is that, so that kind of slowing and just deepening my peace and my joy. Mm. But no, it's amazing that you're doing that weekly. I liked what Ben said as well. He said, do you think, he said, generally, do you actually think that we've lost something really important?
Yeah.
That this is actually quite an important discipline.
Yeah.
And actually we're in danger of losing something very significant.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously Jesus, you know, I think when he talks about fasting, he says when you fast. It's not an if
you fast. No, that's right.
You know, you look at the practice, I think Ben talked a bit about the practice of the early church and fasting, and it was it a Wednesday and a Friday or something, you know, every single week. It was just in the same way they prayed, they also fasted, you know.
Yeah.
And so I do think it's, you know, something that we should seek to reclaim.
Mm.
Because, again, if it's, you know, and it's a bit of a mystery, but again, it comes back to what we were saying last time on the slowing podcast about the fact that we're body and soul.
Yeah.
So, like, and those things are related. Like, we worship God with our bodies. It's why we raise our hands in worship or stand up or kneel or whatever. Like, our bodies are instruments of worship. You know, and they're deeply interconnected with our inner person. And so, therefore, we need to engage our bodies. You know, we can limit our bodies. I think this is what really is behind fasting. We can limit our bodies in order to create a deeper hunger and intimacy with Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a mystery in terms of how that works. But it is part of just saying, you know, I'm gonna devote myself to you with my body. You know, I'm gonna seek to be satisfied in you rather than satisfied in, you know, in food. And there must be something in it. You know, I think, again, I think Ben made this point, which he picked up from Dallas Willard, that when we think about Jesus fasting, you know, in the wilderness, you know, and then at the end of his 40 days of fasting, the enemy comes and he tempts him. I've heard so many times that, you know, the kind of application of that is, or when you're at your weakest, when you're most vulnerable, that's when the enemy will come. And the point is, he's actually his strongest. He's just been fasting and praying for 40 days.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like there's a spiritual strength and resolve that comes. And I think, therefore, you know, to resist the enemy. So we are, you know, so I would say if you struggle, you know, with a certain fleshly or bodily sin, you know, the most obvious of that would be like lust or something like that. But it could be gluttony or, you know, whatever.
Mm.
Fasting is a really helpful way to very practically put off the flesh, learn to control those bodily passions, learn to bring your body, you know, kind of under the rule of Jesus.
On that point, one of the responses was, you know, do you actually agree with this statement that fasting reveals the things that control us? How do you think fasting does that? What is an area of your life that you would love to get more freedom in? So you've embraced this. Presumably your response to this has been to commit to a weekly fast. Has that come out of this series, or was that something you've...
Well, it's kind of, yeah. I mean, I probably started a little bit before we actually... Because I mean, you know... I knew what was coming. I was cheating, right?
You've got ahead of the game.
I didn't want to preach anything that we ourselves weren't, you know, weren't trying to live out. So for about 18 months before we did this series, you know, I've been thinking and trying and practicing some of these. Some of these practices I've adopted as regular things and some of them haven't, so that I could speak, I guess, hopefully, at least a little bit authentically out of kind of my experience. In terms of fasting...
So out of your own fasting, then what kind of issues come up then, do you think? What's it revealing that of things that control you? Because you're obviously putting it into practice.
Yeah. It's a really good question. I think, I mean, the big thing for me is probably what I touched upon in the last podcast in terms of that sense of control, that I guess I'm, you know, it's allowing me to acknowledge and believe that I don't have to act upon every impulse. So if I'm hungry and I'm fast, I don't have to act upon that impulse.
And the root of behind that impulse is often a controlling one.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think probably for me, and I wouldn't say it's been this, you know, like as I've been fasting, I've suddenly had this revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think over this past season, that would be something that, you know, I kind of thought, no, I need to learn how to joyfully submit, you know, and, mm-hmm. and surrender kind of control. So, yeah, but to be honest, I probably need to give it some more thought in terms of, you know, what it has done. I feel like it's done me good.
Yeah.
But try to quantify that. No, I think that's a good question.
So if we looked at all the topics that we've been considering, praying, the word, worship, solitude, slowing, fasting, Sabbath.
Mm.
Is there anything in there that you think are non-negotiables? Because I've presented the fact that out of all of that material, there must be something there
yeah.
for you to really get your teeth into yeah. and really respond and practice,
yeah.
however small that is,
yeah.
or however big that is.
Yeah.
But maybe don't deluge yourself with and confuse yourself.
Yeah.
Every week I've got to do something different.
Yeah.
But I get a sense that maybe fasting, is it a non-negotiable? That maybe, because Ben said that Wesley said, you won't believe what I found, they're not even fasting two
yeah.
days a week.
Yeah.
They're only doing it once a week. So,
yeah, I mean, I think,
is it a non-negotiable?
What did I say, non-negotiable? I mean, Jesus seems to suggest it is. So if we go on what he says, then it looks like it.
Mm.
I mean, I think, again, you know, a number of these spiritual disciplines feed in or run alongside each other.
Mm.
So I would say, you know, if you're going to ask me out of that list, which are the absolute non-negotiables, mm. I would say reading the scriptures, praying and worshipping, you know, are the first, you know, the first three.
Mm.
I recently read, you know, somebody referring to that being like breathing in and breathing out, you know, reading the scriptures, breathing in the truth of God, praying or worship is breathing out, you know, kind of our you know, that truth applied, I guess, in our lives. Fasting is just really, you know, one fasting, slowing, the others are creating more space or a focus space to do more of that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think fasting doesn't mean that you then don't do anything else other than pray and read the Bible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But hopefully it creates maybe more windows where you can be more intentional about doing that in the same way that Sabbath does. We'll come to look at that next week. And so it's about, I guess, creating an environment for growth. That's what, you know, we talked about that right at the start, didn't we? About spiritual disciplines being like the trellis. You know, it's creating environments in our lives that foster intimacy with Jesus, and I think fasting seems to do that.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, so on the practice sheet, I do love the practice sheets. I like a good old practice sheet. And we see Psalm 23 appear. I just wanted just to ask you just why Psalm 23 keeps appearing, because it seems to be significant to you, Psalm 23, but not in a normal way, in a very meditative, contemplative.
You know, you're saying I'm abnormal.
You're right. Very abnormal when it comes to keep going on about this psalm. No, in terms of what you brought to it, I think it's something completely different, a new angle in terms of using that as a kind of framework for reflection and contemplation.
I think I was really struck, you know, when I was looking at the life of the fool, you know, thinking about Jesus, you know, talking about being the good shepherd that leads the sheep out into his pasture, and that being very closely linked into his statement, you know, I've come to give you life in all its abundance. And so I think, well, what's the relationship between leading sheep out into the pasture and an abundant life? And went back to read Psalm 23 through that lens, you know, a psalm that, you know, we're all familiar with and that I've read many, many times, and suddenly thought, oh, this is about sheep out in the pasture with their shepherd. You know, maybe this is what Jesus has got in the back of his mind when he's talking about an abundant life. And then reading through all the different statements of that psalm and thinking, like, this looks like full life to me. You know, like life without, you know, I shall not want, you know, life without lack. You know,
yeah, I like that.
The Lord is my shepherd, so I'm with my shepherd. There's an abiding there. You know, he leads me beside still waters. You know, there's peace there. Restores my soul. There's a sense of restoration. You know, he's always with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't be fearful. You know, his rod and staff, they comfort me. There's a fullness of joy, my cup overflows.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like all these different elements. And it's like this feels like, I think if you were to ask me, write down what abundant life is, that for me is a really
great
description of that. And so what I try to do in the practice sheet here is just say, okay, so how do we spend some time really digging in throughout the week? You know, if we are going to fast, spending time meditating upon those different aspects of the abundant life, again, twinned with the practice of fasting, that might just help us
go a bit deeper. That's lovely. So you've broken off, like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and then you've got pray and reflect for Monday, and then Tuesday, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. You know, pray for deep inner rest in Jesus. Again, what I intend to do is, you know, because, you know, I've kept all of this in my little file.
Yeah.
And is I'm going to constantly refer back to all this material. Do you see there's any benefit in that?
I think there's absolutely benefit in that. Yeah. I think, I can't remember what I said exactly at the beginning of the Transform series, which we've just started. But it's something like, let's not confuse, I can't remember what I said now, something like understanding for application or something like that. Do you know what I mean? We can look at all this stuff and go, oh, yeah, I get it now. But again, if we don't do anything with it. So, and there's a huge amount of material here. Kind of accidentally, really, what we've ended up or are in the process of producing is a bit of a handbook for discipleship. That was never necessarily what we set out to do. But actually, if we're talking about these three goals of discipleship, you know, be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do what Jesus did. This is something I would anticipate there being benefit in returning to time and time again. You know, whether that's in your discipleship groups or just on your own kind of devotional study. And so what we may do with all of this at the end of it is put it all, collect it all together into some kind of booklet. And also for discipling new Christians.
Somebody
becomes a Christian, what's the first thing you want to help them to do? You want to help them to enjoy being with Jesus and communing with him. So there's a lot of stuff here that we can come back to time and again. And obviously a lot of further reading and stuff as well if you want to dive deeper.
No, I think it's an invaluable resource. It's a rich treasure chest. It's amazing. Your further reading this week, you've got A Hunger for God, Desiring God Through Fasting and Prayer, The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard, Fasting, the Ancient Practices, Scott McKnight. Is there anyone there you'd like to point out or reflect on?
I've got a confession here, Mike. I've actually only read one of them.
You've only read one?
I know, out of those three. What a charlatan. I've read The Spirit of Disciplines. I've read quotes from the other two, referencing other material, but they are both fairly well-respected books on kind of fasting. So they're on my list to kind of read and go deeper. The Spirit of Disciplines is really good. I would say probably out of all of those, my hunch would be Hunger for God by John Piper is probably going to be the most clearly presented
of those
on
fasting.
Spirit of Disciplines covers lots of different things.
Lots of things.
So but if you just want one on fasting and having a hunger for God, then I think the Piper
I've heard you reference Dallas Willard quite a bit. Do you want to just say something about him? I've not really heard of him.
Yeah, so he is, he's with the Lord now, but he was kind of a pastor teacher who really just, his whole life's kind of focus was on kind of spiritual formation, really, what it looked like to, you know, walk in the ways of Jesus and obey his teaching. You know, so very kind of discipleship focused. He was kind of a spiritual mentor to guys like, you know, John Ortberg, you know, people like that. And so actually the phrase that we looked at from the book last podcast, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, that phrase actually comes from him in a conversation he was having with John Ortberg. So John Ortberg had been become a pastor in a big church, and he was like 6 months in, and he was just feeling stressed and anxious and overwhelmed with everything. And so he phoned up Dallas Willard, who was his kind of spiritual mentor. He said, Dallas, what shall I do? You know, I'm not enjoying the Lord. I'm overworked. I'm, you know, feeling pressured. What shall I do? And Dallas Willard said to him, ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. And John Albert kind of scribbled it down and said, okay, yeah, what's next? And Dallas Willard said, that's it. If you do, if you do that, everything else will fall into place. So he's just his writings are quite philosophical in places. So you know, so there are easier books to access than others. I've not read all of his, but in terms of again this idea of just how our hearts are impacted, influenced by different things, and how change occurs, I found it really
provocative and helpful. I'll have to have a read of that. Well, again, thank you so much for taking time out to share with us on your thoughts on fasting. And again, just thank you for all that you've done in terms of all this material. It just amazes me. So thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Bye. That was good. That was a good one.